Listen here, you broke bloke. Yeah. You know, I came to a revelation recently that the British don't have very appetizing food. You know, that's why you guys got to put all that vinegar and salt on your chips. Yeah, you know, I'll be honest. I think British food is probably one of the most overrated tourist things we have out here. Just because the most famous chef in the world is British. I mean, he's literally carrying y'all asses. He's literally like the LeBron of your food culinary. And then, you know, his son looks like him. And maybe will he be as good as his dad? All the prospects say no, like Bronny. But what's undeniable is what me and the Ramsey have in common is I watch Dave. Because, girl, I got that hot chicken for you. but, yeah. You know what's kind of fascinating to me? There's this heavy obsession with self-improvement, right? And I've come across something today specifically. It is this writer named David Foster Wallace. Yes. Weird things I get inspired by. I don't know if it's inspired, but it's fascinating how the algorithm just pushes shit on you. You know, and it's this guy, and I've watched these like 4 to 5 minute clips of him talking about stuff like about what makes a interesting person, or it could be about I can't even think of a term, nepotism. It could be about just anything, any like general philosophical Western culture topic. Which I hate that term, Western culture. Like, because when we're not thinking about Western culture or Eastern culture, no one's actually like, let me think about where that is on the map. You know, just say North America. It's really not that fucking hard. Because we here on the North American, we created all the culture. And all y'all are stealing from us, right? Absolutely not, right? But, you know, it'll be like general life stuff, like what, like the people that are on the brink of happiness or unhappiness. What actually being your true authentic self, what does that mean? Like when you're writing anything, the biggest advantage you have is being willing to be your full authentic self. So it's like spreading your seed. If you're not willing to be authentic about it, you know, you're going to get drag queens out here. what would I do if I had a random ass kid out there, right? Could be already out there. Could be out there 20 years from now. I can't predict the future. But if you have a kid out there, completely never know about it, then like 15 years later, for some reason, they decide to come clean and say, hey, you have a kid out here in Zimbabwe. And you'd be like, I know exactly who it is, because, damn, she could shake it like a Zumba class. I don't know where Zimbabwe is. I think that's like, what is that, like East Asia? but yeah. Imagine you having a kid somewhere out there, and you can't, like, can you really connect to a kid that, sorry, lived 15 years without you, even if it is your own? It's a weird thing. But I guess you can, because, you know, you can connect with someone that's already lived on this earth for 20 plus years, in terms of a partner. You connect with friends that at 40 years old, so maybe not. But is it natural? If you didn't meet in a natural way, it's like, hey, so just gotta do my due diligence here, you know. But yeah. And then this man apparently committed he killed himself in 2008. Apparently he wrote books, he was a writer of some sort. had all these great takes. They even think made a movie about him, where a Rolling Stones magazine followed him and did an interview with him. And there's literally a movie about it. But this man killed himself in 2008, you know. Nothing to do with the financial crisis, but, you know, that'll do it. But there was a video not too long after with these entitled, here's the thing I hate about writers, in a sense, these stuck-up asswipes. These people, someone who everyone heard of, the other guy, one of the most respected people in the fields, where they've made a fucking movie about him. And these asswipes at an NYU press conference, thinking because some college kid asked their questions who's doing something in the field that they're not going to be doing 4 years from then. Because people are so obsessed with the idea of writing and not actually doing the writing. It's crazy. And they're doing this panel asking him about, like, the Cobain effect type of thing, which I guess is a suicide thing. I didn't know it was a trendy thing back in the day. But I do have a heart-shaped box. Because I love hers. I'm kidding. Tell Courtney I don't love. Alright. maybe that's who Drake was talking about, Courtney from Hooters on Peach Street. But then again, that may have been a minor. him and Dr. Disrespect. I guess you could say he doesn't twitch at anything, which apparently that whole mohawk or that whole mullet thing he has is not even real. There's literally a video back in 2010 where that dude put on a wig to be a character, which is fine. You know, it's always funny when people make Twitter posts about how, you know me, I have no filter, I don't give a fuck, and they proceed to have a filter for legal reasons of, I can't really say it. It's like, if you don't have a filter, you don't give a fuck about the legal aspect of it. But it's okay. It's always the people that say they have no filter. They have the most filter. Because they get themselves in situations where they have to legally have a filter. I don't know. But yeah. And there was this panel. And someone asked a question to some about him. And they're all kind of making rationale, like, well, you know what? It was mental illness. It was this and that, you know. They were trying to deflect blame in terms of, they were not trying to blame being lonely doing that profession or being unhappy. And this one bitch just shouted out in the middle of someone's answer, like, could have done charity work. And this is a woman on the panel, someone that does that per profession. It's like, oh, I didn't know giving more to other people when you are completely depleted would make you more happy. But okay. I bet this bitch has never done charity, you know? The closest thing she's had to charity is naming her kid Charity, you know? And did you know that naming your kid King, Queen, Jesus Christ, Santa Claus, 1069, the at symbol, is actually illegal? You can't do it. So, fun fact of the day. Don't name your kids. But yeah, first, last, middle. Put her in the middle, and she'll be your first and last. You know, when you tell someone you don't have a middle name, people always look at you like you just said the craziest shit that's ever been said. It's like, yeah. You know, it's a choice to put it. Like, you don't have to have a middle name. Like, who actually wants a middle name? Like, how many things do you want to be attached to? Maybe that's why I'm a simple guy. People with no middle names, we don't need more than just one or two things, our first and last name. We don't always need to fill the blank. I mean, I'll fill a few blanks, but, you know, that's the thing, you know, if I ever have to fill out a birth certificate, creating some kid's name, which has got to be the most daunting task, like, how's that work, you know, the lady gives birth, you go to a little checkout thing and like, all right, this 5 seconds or this like minute long on the spot thing, you gotta put something on paper that's gonna be that person's name the rest of their life. Imagine the severity of that. Imagine just one day you just had to go to a you had to legally decide one food you would eat for the rest of your life. You had to write that down on a piece of paper, and legally that's the only thing you could eat the rest of your life. That's like what naming your kids like. You know? It's like, what if after a couple years I want to be like, hey, you know what? He looks more like a Bryce than a Jimbo. That'd be funny, naming your kid Jimbo. But that's not like an adult name or a kid name. I think I would name my kids Bradley. You know, Bradley's like one of those like, aw, you know, attractive. He has a name that guys are cool with, that they won't scoff at, and a name that girls would be like, ooh, Bradley took me to see Godzilla vs. King Kong tonight, you know? Not no weird, like, you know, Code Red 40, you know, like Elon Musk kid name. But yeah. Yep. Any woo-hoo. Yeah. I guess the moral of all that is hey, Sting is still getting paid $2,000 a day by Diddy. I would say no Diddy, but that's an involvement with Diddy I could be a part of. $2,000 a day, bring him my way. That's like $720,000 a year. Because apparently he used the I'll Be Missing You. He stole that Sting sample. And apparently Juice WRLD used the Sting sample. And 85% of whatever that song is goes to Sting. But Juice WRLD didn't know because his producer made the beat or instrumental. And didn't think nothing of it. So the moral of all that is create such a body of work that people steal your shit and then you can legally just make money off of it, you know? Yep. Welcome to episode 284 of the Off and Beat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Most important, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to suck some titties. Yeah, recording this on June 30th, 2024 at 8:44 p.m. Eastern for the archives. But ping pong, sing a song. Ching Chong, J.J. Redick will get accused of saying some shit. yeah, so J.J. Redick. Yeah, this man is a... It's weird how, you know, and this is going to sound like I'm allegation shaming, right? I don't know if this stuff's true. Apparently it looks like, at least like the email stuff is true, but it's pretty some crazy shit, right? But it's weird how he gets hired as a Lakers coach, and this girl, I forgot her name, but some girl that used to go to Duke. And apparently it's like, hey, you know what's funny? Once upon a time, I was walking around campus at Duke, and I was called fill in the blank, a really bad insulting racial epithet, I think they call it, slur. I think it's a little bit more than a slur. A slur is like, hey, you know, that could come off as friendly. This was like, there's no good vibes. There's no, he's part of the cookout type of lingo. Nah, he said, allegedly said, you know, the ER. And I'm not talking about the emergency room. Because you say that in certain parts, you might be in the emergency room. But apparently, this man said something really bad. And, oh, and by the way, now he's the head coach of the Lakers. It's like, I hate, you know, first of all, just say the guy's fucking name. Like, don't say... You know, and this is not defending, but I just hate when like people like, it's like everyone knows who you're talking about. Just say, hey, J.J. Redick, when I was at Duke, said this to me. Now he's the head coach of the Lakers. And then say your issue with it. Don't be like, hey, I once upon a time had someone say a slur to me, and now they're the head coach of an NBA team in L.A. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, just say the person's name. You know. It's like, let's cut through the fat. We don't need, like, you know, we don't need to read in between the lines. That's not something to have to dig too deep about. It's not even that clever. It's pretty straightforward, right? And then, apparently, now there's this email from 2007 where this man, I think he was probably at Duke. Maybe in a few years after Duke. I don't know. But, apparently, he said some insulting things to a girl. I think she was Latina. And called her some racial things, basically threatened her if she didn't get the quote-unquote procedure to get rid of a living child. You know, I'll protect myself for algorithm reasons, but not like it matters. But yeah, you could figure it out. It's weird how, you know, it would have been just as impactful. Like, the dude played in the NBA for like 13 years, right? Like, it's not like this dude, like, barely had a NBA career and then now he's got a high-profile position and now we want all this stuff to come out. Like, why does it wait till someone gets a head coaching position, I guess? Well, I guess the argument could be made is, well, got a head coaching position, now he's in a position of leadership. And now he's going to be leading, you know, a group of men. And depending on the dynamics of the team, could be predominantly black. So that could be the racial aspect of it. But he played in the NBA for a number of years. So I'm going to say that's not really been, that wouldn't really be an issue in terms of that specifically. But with it coming out now, you know, it just seems odd that why now? It seems like there's got to be a push behind it. There's got to be a team. Like, this isn't information that these people, this is information that was a secret. Someone had this information for years and years. And it's just now they want to put it out there for some reason. So, you know, it's just interesting, like, the timing of it. Doesn't mean that it didn't happen. It doesn't mean that it was right or wrong. It doesn't mean that the people that are coming out with these allegations, quote-unquote, it doesn't mean they're wrong for speaking what happened. It's just like less than a week after this man got a head coaching position, now all this stuff wants to come out. Like, what's really the point of all that when there's been 10, 12, 13 years to come out with this stuff publicly? Twitter's been around for the past 10 years. Like, if you would have said it 3 years ago when he was in the, when he was still an active player in the NBA, impact player, it would have just as probably substantial meeting, you know, would have had to address it. So, I don't know. The timing's a little weird. And it's fucked up if these things did happen. It's just crazy to me how someone, you know, and I understand times were different. And maybe this is just me being optimistic. This is me, like, hoping it's not true for whatever reason. It's hard to just me believe that even as someone who may be feeling invincible in terms of his status as a college basketball player, because he was like the college basketball player at the time. And it's just hard for me to imagine that a guy would go around campus, even on his worst day, and seem to come across as a normal guy for the most part, like who he talks to, how he talks to people. And even at that age, when you may be the most naive and stuff, to go around and even say that to someone and think that that would be like whatever, even being young and naive, saying that word, it seems almost unbelievable, even if it is true. Like, that's how like crazy it would be if this stuff is true. And that's the thing, sometimes life doesn't feel real. Like, you wouldn't believe the things people would say. Even the people that you wouldn't believe would say it or do. That's kind of what makes it. And you look, times were different. People will say that. You know, times weren't that different, you know. Like, no one would think at that time it would be okay to even, like, utter that or say or even think to say that, you know. So, you know. But I guess when you have that history, you got to draft, you have to draft LeBron's son. And then you draft LeBron's son and he opts out of his deal. Which obviously is going to be to free up money to renegotiate, to potentially bring more people. So, I don't know. It was odd. And the whole, like, LeBron nepotism thing, right? I'm a little late to the party here. I mean, people got to be okay with the fact that, yeah, nepotism is involved. Who you know is involved. But you know what? Sometimes when you have contributed as much to the league as LeBron has done as much for the league as LeBron has had, you know what? Having your son who may not be that good be on a team for a couple years, if that's like the only thing the league ever like does for him when it comes, then you know what? So be it. That's a pretty even trade-off. Not even, honestly. Like, there's so many players that get into the league that aren't good anyways. You know what? At least like this, there could be a potential feel-good aspect to it. One thing I will say, though, I think some of the people push past that it's not even really the skill level. Because honestly, I don't watch basketball like that anymore to really be grading his handle, you know, pause. But with his heart issues, if just about any other player, regardless of if they were a top 10 pick, undrafted, whatever, if they had the heart cardiac situation he had last year that caused him to miss like half the season during, I think it was like a spring practice or something, any other player, like, he would have been like undraftable off that alone, right? Because that was a very serious situation. Even if the doctors gave him the clear bill of health, like, because of the, if you go back, because I learned this off a 30 for 30 doc, here, I think it was Harry Kittles off Loyola Marymount. It's Loyola Marymount. It was basically a college team that basically just ran. Like, they created the real, like, run and gun where it's just, like, fast break up and down, 7 seconds or less offense type of thing. Like, they actually, this college team, I think it was, like, the late 80s, maybe early 90s. It was a, Harry Kittles had a, it's either him or Gath, one of the two best players on the team. They had a heart attack during the game, right? Or, yeah, no, it was during the practice. Kind of a similar situation. And, you know, I'm going to be honest, I don't remember if he lost his life off of that day, or if he did down the road, but he played a little after. I don't remember the story because I'm completely, like, just connecting this as we're going. But, like, that dude would have never got drafted into the NBA, whether he would have survived that or not. Because just the, there's been so many players over the years, like Isaiah Austin. I think his was just a bone structural issue where it was like his breathing and stuff. It was too much of a risk to have him play. Getting drafted, then it is sympathy draft him and didn't really draft him, you know. So, yeah, that's all these. That is real. I think that's like the real part. It's not how good he is. Because, you know, there's players that draft all the time that don't really score in college. But They have very specific niches that they could do that could translate to a team fit. But the actual medical thing would be the much more reason to get more, like, raise your eyebrows or get upset if you're all about the purity of basketball. There's your sports of the fucking week. Speaking of sports, so apparently Joey gobbled these nuts, chestnut. That was a terrible intro. But he's been, so apparently he's not banned from eating. He's just not competing in this year's Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, you know. This is probably the most important news of the whole podcast. Because he hasn't reached an agreement. Like, it's almost like it's a Brandon Ayuk with the Niners, like, intense agreement, you know. Like, hey, if you don't want me, trade me. Y'all don't respect me. Do you want to play for Niners? Of course I do, you know. but apparently this man trying to negotiate, like, the dude's won 12 muster belts, you know. He deserves to get paid to work one day a year. Obviously, he doesn't work one day. You know, they do a lot of competition. But he's part of Major League Eating. Apparently, his contract, you know, has been on the wire of going up before the event. And they couldn't come to an agreement, so he can't compete. Apparently, the reported deal is he turned down a... They were going to only offer up the $1.2 million, which is like... $1.2 million. That is, if he eats 60 hot dogs, which I think is around his average. Doing the math, man, that's like... What is that? I can't even do it off the top of my head. Hold on. Let's do some math here. We're going to do some on-the-spot math. 60 hot dogs divided by 1.2 mil. If this man ate 60 hot dogs, let's just say the 1.2 mil is really because of the big event, this man would be getting paid 20K for each fucking hot dog. That's insanity. 20K. Think about it. If you make $50,000 a year, which is, or, well, I think the median salary for a household is $60,000 a year, they're saying this man eating 3 hot dogs is worth more than how many fucking hours you work a year. Take that. How's that feel? This man sticking wieners in his mouth is worth more than you providing for your family. How the fuck does that feel? but this man wants $2 million. So that means he wants to be paid around, like, you know, $50,000 a wiener. That's pretty insane when you think about it. But hey, all the props to him. So apparently, he's decided to compete in some another hot dog contest, but it's a vegan. Apparently, this league is for vegan food or non-meat food. Which is like, how does a league that, one, no one's ever heard of, that is about impossible meat, vegan meat, fake food, essentially. I mean, hot dogs is a real food, but you get the deal. How can that league offer this man more than Major League fucking Eating? Because they're paying this man $2 million to compete in their event. Now, granted, you have to pay someone a little bit more to eat those pieces of shit, but... If you guys ever had impossible meat, it is impossible to comprehend what you're putting into your mouth, you know. But yeah. Yeah, you know. I mean, I would... Honestly, man, I don't know how much money it would... I would have to get paid to really want to be a competitive eater. Because beyond the health effects, that would just be a misery energy dump every fucking day you have to do to yourself. If you watch, like, people that do, like, eating challenges or competitive eating online and stuff and just do, like, these crazy, you know, eating whole menu items and they have to do it on a weekly basis for their channel and stuff. Like, that shit would be not fun. Like, that's one of those things that seems like it'd be fun, but it would not be fun in any capacity. One, your relationship with food you enjoy would completely be fucked. And people in these places don't add anything to their fucking menus anymore. Everything is like set in stone, essentially. So, and you're going to run out of fucking menus to eat. So, I don't know. Seems like it's tough to be eating these days, you know. But, you know, people have issues with the, from a moral standpoint. It's weird how eating, just someone like, oh, it's disgusting because it's gluttony. It's like, all right. But, I mean, it may be gluttony, you know, from a biblical sense or just a moral sense. But they're not really, like, doing it for gluttonous purposes. It's for competition purposes. We could rationalize, like, if you are, like, you wouldn't rationalize just tackling someone in the middle of the street, even if they make you mad, and just stomping them on the ground, right? But if there's a competitive aspect and there's financial incentives for entertainment or just pure, you know, just accomplishment, you wouldn't go to a football player and be like, what you do is barbaric and wrong for society. It's like, no one's vouching for people to go around and just knock people out and beat people up. But for competitive sports and combat incentive, it's not gluttonous. It's not, you know, rash of anger. It's what you do. You know, we all have skills. It's pretty cool how advanced we have become, I guess, on the simplest form, America. America, where we can literally anything, like literally anything, has become a potential job. Like, it's not these, like, literally you can turn anything into a job if just enough people give a shit about it. If enough people are willing to pay you. Even on a private standpoint. Like, if enough people want to pay you to massage your feet, people will do it. Some people like to watch people pop pimples. Like, imagine, you know, hey, if I put my foot on a live stream, start poking some calluses, it's gonna get some donations out of sadness, like, man, someone get this guy some Aveeno. But it's just one of those things where it's outrage, man. People just want, like, there's got to be something wrong with everything. I'm not an OnlyFans proponent. I would never pay for OnlyFans. I don't care what it is. But then again, you know, I think content in a similar sense, now there's going to be YouTubers and podcasters that are going to start making their stuff exclusively paid, where, which I guess really is what Patreon is for certain things, but where the stuff that we get free now, typically what a lot, when they get to a certain level where they get enough fans, they'll have the free stuff for everyone on YouTube and streaming or whatever. And then if you want more or certain specific stuff that's more probably explicit or more, you know, out of the box or just more episodes or just more shit, they'll have stuff that you can pay behind a paywall, like a couple butts would cost more than a couple. That will cost a couple bucks a month or $5 a month. And it's just the exclusive content thing, right? But I hate that term, content. Anytime someone says I'm a content creator, I know what you mean. But to me, that's just so general. That doesn't really explain to me what the fuck you actually do, right? Like when people say this is for the content, I don't know what that means. I have noticed that there are more people. Like when you actually go out there, even like when I went out earlier today, there was legitimately someone with a GoPro on a stick recording themselves on a sidewalk next to a subway. And I'm sitting there. And I'm not shaming people that live stream. I'm not shaming people that do it beside a subway. What I am saying is, looking at you, I don't think anyone gives a fuck what you're doing beside a subway. It's like, hey guys, look at these sidekicks. It's a pretzel. Is it good? Takes a bite. The bitch is scrumptious. Now, if it's Peaks, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the channel Peaks, but this man, he's one of the only people I will actually watch eat shit, because this man would be like, now let's see what this sushi mama's digging. Takes a bite of sushi. A little dry, but it do what it do. I ordered this bitch rare. I ain't seen much pink in this slit, you know. But yeah, you gotta be a real specific type of entertainer or characteristic for people to watch you do everyday stuff and actually have like something added to it. I'm not talking about, like, there's something about hearing people talk, because, you know, you can hear nuance and opinions, you can get deeper, but like watching someone do something where there's very limited amount of stuff you can add on to it, you're very reliant on the experience of what someone pause is putting in their mouth and what they're tasting, the noises of it, and they have to be very concise and descriptive. Where you give a shit about what they're saying about these things, right? Food reviews is one of those fascinating things that I think one of the main reasons why I like watching people eat food and their food reviews of stuff that we have already had. Like, depending on the person, I will watch food reviews of shit that I already know what it fucking tastes like. But just because it's this person, I want to hear if they thought some of the same things I thought, you know? And that's the, you know, that's the beauty of it. And sometimes we already know, we already have an opinion, we already know, but we just like familiarity. And we like more familiarity confirming our familiarity. See? It's a lot of familiarity. I wish I was a ghost, because I'd be a ghost drinking ghost sour pink lemonade. Which, by the way, did you know how pink lemonade was made? Apparently, the story, the history lesson behind pink lemonade. Let me make sure. It's been a few days since I learned about this. Essentially, how was it? Damn, I forgot how it fucking happened. Had to do some with, you know, like, oh, they were running low on lemons or something like that. And then some girl squeezed the sweat juice out of her skirt, underpants, or whatever. And the tavern just used that as pink lemonade. Damn, I should really remember stories before I tell them. But it was basically the ending. All you need to know is a lady squeezed her underpants. Whatever sweat, citric acid was in there, put it in a cup and call it pink lemonade. I've never been a fan of pink lemonade. I don't get the hype of it. I really don't understand. Like, how come we only have pink and regular lemonade? Like, we don't have, like, citrus lemonade or... I mean, we do have limeade. That's not really... I mean, you can add aid to anything, you know? Gatorade, Powerade. Navalade. trying to think of fruit. Banana-aid. Kiwi-aid. Lululemonade. Which apparently Lululemon has some bad pheromones for your cooch. I've been going so deep down the weird health rabbit hole. Not because I care about my health. Well, I mean, I do care about my health. But I am fascinated by I'm trying to change my oils. I'm not talking about the one you bathe on your body. You know, the important stuff. You know, trying to transition to more natural oils. And then you look at the prices and you're like, you know what? I think no oil will be just fine. I don't know why fucking oils are so goddamn expensive. But apparently these Lululemon pants, right? Which, shocker, I guess they contain a type of polyester that is bad for your skin, cause irritation. Which, you know, I'll be honest, I have some clothes. Apparently polyester underwear is very terrible for your sperm count. It fucks up with your whole nether regions down there in a lot of ways if you wear it too much. Which I will say, when I've worn polyester, things don't feel as comfortable down there. I ain't get too specific of what I mean. But what I'm saying is, poly don't want a cracker. That's why I put Polynesian sauce on everything. But there's apparently there's certain, like the legging pants. Typically the ones that the ladies like, the fabrics, whatever it is terrible for their pH balance. It is not good for their skin. It could cause certain chafing or irritation. And those pheromones, the pheromones that's in the clothing, it absorbs into your body, especially when you sweat. And those things stay with you essentially forever, or at least for a very long time until they naturally cleanse themselves out. And it could cause certain issues with hormones. It could cause acne of some sort. It could just cause a lot of issues that we wouldn't think about. But he's like, if you're going to wear it, you know, at least wear underwear. He's like, I know that it's not going to make you, you know, it's not maybe as comfortable. It doesn't help with the shape of what you're looking for. But, you know, unless you want to have raging hormones for the next 10 years of your life, wear some fucking underwear. It is crazy. I will give the confidence of these YouTubers or these medical people. They, like, these dudes, they will just go inside of these McDonald's, set up their whole camera set, and be like, this is not, like, right in front of the employees, just cleaning the lobby, just right in front of everyone, like, this shit right, like, this, their sugar, or their salt is actually made with sugar, you know, breaking down McDonald's within a McDonald's, you know, that's like having your, you know, your ex come to your house, and then just right in front of your new partner being like, yeah, look, this was bad. He's a piece of shit. She's a piece of shit. This is a piece of shit. You know? And you're just like, hey, you know, I pay for this shit. Can you get the fuck out? Like, imagine the McDonald's franchise owner just be like, hey, you can't just set up a whole fucking camera and kill my fucking business. It's like, well, then don't charge $16 for a combo meal, you asswipe. You know? See, no one would be dismantling your product if you didn't raise the prices where... Now it's to an affordability problem to where you want to be treated like a restaurant that we have standards for. It's like, if you don't want to be treated like high standard, put your prices back down. All right? There. There's some real insight. But then, like, he just went straight into this clothing store, right? This employee, this cashier or this lady was in the background folding some clothes, and this dude just has his whole this right here is going to make your pH balance fucked up while all these other women are shopping around him. Like, I just imagine, like, if I was, like, with my sister or just with, you know, with a girl, with my partner at a clothing store, and there's some guy there, and he's just recording, just looking for some pants she likes, like, ooh, oh my god, I've been waiting for these for like 6 months, you're so great, oh my god. And then some guy right there is like, now if you want infertility problems, put these things on right now, you know. And I'll be like, see, honey, hey, I guess we gotta save some money today, you know. He said, unless you want to be infertile, don't wear these. knowing her, she probably stopped and be like, wait, are you serious? Get the whole breakdown. And be like, I'm not surprised. You know, they're always trying to fuck up our hormones. They don't care about us, woman. You know, trying to fuck everything within us up. And you know what? Insider trading. You know? That is where insider trading comes to your benefit. If you know, if someone has stock in Lululemon, and you know they wear their pants, you know they're going to make irrational decisions with their hormones, you can mess with them emotionally, so they put stock into your stock, and they lose money, and you as a company win. It's a win-win. You don't think that's how it works? McDonald's, these fast food, they give you shitty food, so you improperly don't invest in the right things, and they get this internal stock market money. These clothing stores, they put a bunch of chemicals and shit to fuck up your hormones to essentially make your skin fucked up, and then you irrationally invest in the stock market. But not in the right things, because it fucks up your cognitive thinking and makes your IQ 30 points lower, apparently. So apparently, you know what? You wear anything, you get anything from these stores, you're going to be dumber and be infertile. That's why I get out of it. You can't go anywhere. You eat certain food, you get extra gain fat and lipids. It fucks up with your breathing. It fucks up with your brain function, eating this food too much. You wear these clothes, apparently. It fucks up with your ability to create children. And then, you know, it's just this endless cycle. No matter what you fucking do, you basically got to stay in your fucking house and just do fucking nothing. You drink certain water? Certain filter water, if it's not alkaline water, you're actually depleting your natural resources. Like, oh my, like, you can't do fucking anything, man. You can't. 100% cotton. I don't know about that cotton. Yeah, they say that, but you know what? There's people I've never sweated in 100% cotton. That shit burns. I don't know about that cotton. It's a dodgeball reference. Now I'm thinking of the movie. But yeah, everything just, it makes men women men, and they make clothes for men who want to be women and women who want to be men. And that's how the cycle continues. We got women with size 13 feet and somehow men with size 6. That's how you know there's something wrong with all the shit we got going on. It's like, I saw a video this other day. This girl, you know, look, I don't look it up. It comes in my algorithm. You know, this girl's showing off her legs. She had big ass quads. She looked like an Olympic lifter. Like, her knees, like, you could tell when someone has, like, big, like, quads and stuff, but they just work isolated muscles, but their knees and lower legs can't really support it. That was not the case here. This girl has some knees on her. She has some knees, some shins, some ankles. You could tell, like, she was the real deal. Not these girls wearing these Lululemon shorty shorts, making ass pop a little bit bigger than it really is. No, this girl, she had legs. Legs, legs, legs. All right? I'm not talking about chicken legs are an insult. I mean, she has some church's chicken thighs, you know? Not even in a sexual way. But if she greased it up, hey. Like, legitimately, if she were to bread her legs, like, it would legitimately just be, like, a nice, you know, Publix greasy, oily thigh, you know? And, but the point of all that is we got girls that got knees that are stronger than men's, and vice versa. And, from the looks of it, she avoids bad fabrics. So maybe that's why she's able to maintain her structure. So, moral of all that is just wash your clothes properly. But see, that's the thing. There's no such thing as 100% cotton. Like, because technically, a shirt can never be 100% cotton. Because cotton, like, cotton is a very, like, poofy. It's a very thorny. It could be very poofy. So there has to be something to smooth it out. And Eli Whitney hasn't been around with the cotton gin in quite a bit. All right. So, like, this shirt right here, I'm pretty sure it's, like, it's Old Navy. It's probably, like, 80%, you know, Taiwanese or something. Everything's made in Taiwan. Everything's made in Taiwan, but we can't acknowledge Taiwan as a country. It's a crazy thing. If we can't acknowledge it, why do we say made in Taiwan? I think that's China that doesn't acknowledge. But if you're an American wrestler or actor that acknowledges Taiwan, then your movies can't be in China, which is a weird thing. Well, Panda Express, bitch. But see, that's the thing. British food sucks from the looks of it. It looks like beans on toast. It's all blandness. It's bland. And their idea, you know, when you start having to put like pounds of caviar in your food to make it worth what you're paying for? Which I don't know who the fuck would want to put just fish eggs in their mouth. I've never woke up and be like, hey, let me put what's been on the bottom of your butthole in my mouth. These little fish eggs. That's what caviar is. It's just these little, like, freaking, they look like beetles. They look like little ticks. Actually, you know what? It looks like jam before they actually jam it. I don't get it. I don't get this whole caviar trend. I get Wagyu. But literally, caviar is one of those things that we just add on the shit because it sounds expensive and people just are like, ooh, expensive. And they want to feel like they're fine dining. Like, they're literally just robbing you in broad, midnight daylight. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just here to be the messenger. And pop goes the weasel. I'm a measle weasel. Damn, girl, you got so much gas. Where's the diesel? I'm like VIN. Where's your VIN number on your vehicle? Is that what Vin Diesel really is? Or is it Vinny Diesel? Like, what's the VIN from? Is he actually talking about, like, your VIN number, diesel? Like, your VIN number on your car? And he's got so much gas, you're going to need diesel because he's premium. Premium baldness. Yeah. Like, literally, Vin Diesel has looked the same in these movies for like 22 years. Like, Vin Diesel is an anomaly where if you don't look it up and look up how he looked when he first started acting, you literally do not know what race this man is. You do not know how old this man is. You do not know. Like, this man has literally been the same shape. Like, this man has been at the same muscular shape, but he's not, like, crazy shredded, but, you know, it looks like he works on cars since he isn't Fast and Furious. I'm sure that's, like, his Daniel Day-Lewis being in character. He works on cars to, you know, have CGI do all the crazy shit, you know? But speaking of dating underage girls, apparently Paul Walker was in that. Sorry. Rest in peace. It's kind of unnecessary to even mention that. But then again, Jerry Seinfeld did the same. Yep. You know what I noticed? Drake, top of the game for the past decade. Dr. Disrespect, apparently been this top streamer on Twitch for the past like 3 or 4 years. Apparently, Jerry Seinfeld was the top of his game for that period of time. Dated like a 70-year-old girl. Woody Allen, probably the biggest director in the 60s, 70s. I mean, that shit is just weird as fuck. He dated like a girl who was already young and then started dating his daughter who was like 15, grooming her. And we just got a bunch of groomers out here, you know? Nothing but groomers. I need a groomer for my hair. Not like, you know, that type of grooming. It's hard to groom a 28-year-old at this point. That'd be kind of weird. But I guess you can, because it's more of a state of mind. Anyone can be groomed. A 30-year-old can be groomed. If they have no back, pussy and crack. Alright. Yeah, I think I'm going to stop the pap smear of an episode right now. But yeah. That was episode 284 of the Offbeat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Most important, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to suck some titties. You know what I'm starting to realize? At the end of these episodes, I really don't remember 95% of the shit I just talked about because I'm a random-ass motherfucker. Yeah, the price is right. And apparently, Pat Sajak on Wheel of Fortune. Is it Wheel of Fortune? Yeah, it's Wheel of Fortune. Was his last episode like a couple weeks ago. They just be making money doing shit now, man. I swear to God. Alright, have a great day, morning, night, evening. And, yeah. Make sure to pee in the toilet. Or, you know, the sink's not a terrible option. But preferably the toilet or the bathtub. When you're showering, wash it down. Make sure it's at least lukewarm water.